the light of the world. You together are a city set on a hill that can't be hidden. Like, y'all can't help but love people. You can't help but smile. You can't help but believe and have hope for people when they don't have hope. Tommy, Rochelle, he's sick today, they told me. You told me. And he called me and said he was coming. And I remember that word at the House of Faith for Women's Gala. I can't say that word properly. You know, the thing they had here in our building a few weeks ago? God gave me a word for Tommy. He said, Tommy, Paul said this, the Apostle Paul said this, I used to think of Jesus the way the world judges, but I do so no longer. And God said, you know what, the House of Faith for Women, what Tommy and many of you have this gift, it's the ability to see people beyond what the evidence looks like. You know, the world lives by the evidence. If you ever mess up, you're a dead man. That's the law. That's the way the law was. The first covenant was about law. And the law was there to expose us that we can't make it without Jesus. He gets all the credit. He gets all the glory. And I love singing those songs. Now, we celebrate His birth. So I want to challenge you today that you're going to leave here thinking differently about Christmas than you've ever have before. In a good way. Because it really is. Jesus is very special, isn't He? Imagine 2,000 years ago, all around the world, people are celebrating His birth. Still, that He was special. The whole world's crying out for His coming. It's like before the foundation of the world, God had decided that His Son was going to be born a man. The Lamb of God. And the whole world was waiting. The Jewish nation was waiting for the Messiah. They waited for thousands of years. And their hope is still in His coming. And you and I get to celebrate that now. That birth was a huge thing. And it's like every decoration, every light, when I drive around at night in the city and see all the lights, every light is crying out, is praising Him, is giving Him glory, is recognizing how special He was. How special He is. This Christmas, I want to give you a gift. You see, Jesus was the Lamb of God that came as a gift to the world. He was a gift to us. He was a gift. And when we praise Him, when we honor Him, we give Him glory, it's all about Him. I love these. I had 10 pages solid single-space scriptures. And I cut it down to almost nothing because you guys want to leave before 1 today. Luke chapter 2 verse 10, it says this. Then the angel of the Lord said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. And that word Savior is all inclusive. That word Savior, it began in Hebrew and it came into the New Covenant in Greek. And it literally, the closest thing I can define is every need you will ever have is met in Him. He meets, that word is salvation. Every need you will ever have can be met in Jesus Christ. He came as the gift for everything. And today, if you have needs, I know we've already done it once, but if you have needs, you don't have to leave here without meeting Him. I don't know what He'll do, but I guarantee you He'll come. Because it says, for unto you, you need to have an encounter with Jesus. I need to have encounters with Jesus. Every need you have, He comes to. So this morning, you don't have to leave here without knowing that. Without having an experience with Him. And I love that. And, you know, in Isaiah, 700 years before that, before Jesus was born, the prophet Isaiah wrote these words, Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a Savior is given. That means no one's excluded. What Jesus did was for every single person in the world. It's unto us. And at the same time, it's unto you. He thinks about us. And what was the gift God gave us? We call it the incarnation. The incarnation just means God, God the Father, God the Creator, in a human body. Do you know that was God's purpose? His plan before the worlds were created was to send His Son so that He could live inside of us, in your skin, in the way you think, in the way you look, how old you are, how young you are, Jew, Gentile, doesn't matter. God has one purpose in all of history. He had one purpose, and that's to be with you. It's to be Emmanuel, God with us. Like James said, that God with us. God's with you right now because His Son came. I'll read, that's why I had so many verses. So I really like these. In the world's eyes, Jesus wasn't special, was He? He was a Jewish kid born in obscurity, didn't even have a room, born in a manger in a barn. He didn't have a whole bunch of family around Him. He didn't have anybody. Mary didn't have anybody. Joseph didn't have anybody. They were alone in the world, and they couldn't find a place for Mary to have a baby. Every one of us would empty our wallets to pay for their hotel room. Wouldn't you do that? For anybody. They didn't do it. There was nothing special about Him. He was a little boy. He was a baby. He hadn't done anything. And you know what's worse is He was born in a very, very depressed time in the world. You see, in the world's eyes, He wasn't special. He had every disadvantage. He was poor. His mother got pregnant before she was married. And it wasn't Joseph. It wasn't her husband. And y'all know the story. You know what happened. But ever since Adam and Eve, Satan and every demon in hell has had one purpose, and that's to stop the child that was going to be born that would crush their head. See, God told Satan, He said, Satan, listen, Mary's going to have pain in childbirth. Mary, the women are going to pay a price to have babies, but her offspring is going to destroy you and your influence and your ways and your judgment and your evil on the earth. This baby is going to do that. So Satan and every angel in hell, right, every demon in hell had spent their whole life waiting for Mary's child to be born. They didn't know it was Mary. They knew it was going to be a virgin. They knew she was going to be a Jewish girl. They didn't know. And when Jesus was born, they did everything they could to destroy Him. That was Jesus' life. You think you got, how many of you guys, don't raise your hand. How many of you believe that you live under a curse? A family curse? A curse because of what you've done in the past? Listen, Jesus lived under every curse ever, and the light of God couldn't be stopped. And that same light lives inside of you. The curses don't win. You know, Satan lost that day. Can you imagine the pain he felt when he tried to stop it and he couldn't stop it because Jesus, God Himself, was born in a human body? And I believe it's the same thing. You know, you think about what Jesus went through. He was poor. He was raised in a community where his mother was the scum of this community. I mean, we think of Mary as perfect and all this other stuff that we think. But in the Jewish world, a girl who got pregnant before she got married and it wasn't her husband, they stoned those girls. That's what the law does, isn't it? They stone them. And she, oh yeah, the Holy Spirit came upon me. Yeah, you think they believe that? Jesus' own brothers and sisters didn't believe in Him. You read the New Testament, they didn't believe in Him. James, his brother, he didn't believe in Him. You see, maybe you've been born in that same deal. Maybe you aren't special. This is the message. Jesus said, I came to earth so you could have God. I could live in you. You're special. You see, Jesus wasn't special as a human. He was a human. I think, are you guys human? Every one of you, I think. Most of you are. Now, there could be a puppy behind the blanket, but I think it's a baby. You never know with babies when they cover them up. It's like, is there a baby in there or is that a puppy? No, you're human. So guess what? You're special. You're special. God created the world so that you could be born, and in your body, Jesus Christ lives. He lives in your mind. He speaks through your voice. He touches people. He blesses people. He has children. It's special. You guys are all special. So, what made Jesus' birth special? You know what made his birth special? He was born. Just like everyone in this room. There's not a one of us that's not as special as Jesus was, because we were created for His glory. We were created to be His body, to be His dwelling place on earth. You were created to have the Spirit of God live inside of you. God chose, before any of us were, to live in my skin and your skin. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white. It doesn't matter if you have dry skin or moist skin. Nothing matters except for He needed a human, and we call it the incarnation. And Jesus was the first. And the Bible says He's the first of many brothers. Jesus said that you and I are born of the same womb as He was born because of what He did. And you know, when you read these verses, I really do love these verses. I love this passage. So this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. Matthew 1:18. His mother Mary, that was his mother, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Sounds like a real romantic, beautiful story, doesn't it? And before they came together, before they consummated the marriage, y'all can explain this to your children. But before, because the Jewish culture was different, you were engaged. In the Jewish culture, when you were engaged, you were married, but you weren't married until you got married. That was their, it was a strange thing, but it's how they did it. Before, in our world, it would be before they got married, she was found to be pregnant. It wasn't Joseph. That meant instant damnation for her in their world. And through the Holy Spirit, which we know now, it was the Holy Spirit. So she shouldn't have been judged, right? But because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not, he had a good heart. He didn't want to expose her to public disgrace or to death, right? He had in mind to divorce her quietly. So I'm not going to marry you anymore, Mary, because you slept with somebody that wasn't me, because you're pregnant. I'm just going to divorce you and put you away quietly. That was so kind of him, right? I'm going to let you live with the disgrace. I'm going to let you live with the child, with a child with no father, in a culture that wasn't acceptable. It wasn't possible to be that way. And though, after he had considered this, then Joseph, after he'd considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she'll give birth to a son." You know, I think Jesus is wanting to give birth through many of us, and we're living in bondage to our shame and our guilt and fear. I when I read that, and I was like, "Jesus, what do you want to say?" And He said, notice what it says there. Joseph was afraid. He was afraid of what other people would say about him. He was afraid of punishment. And he had been taught that if you sin, if somebody hurts you, you hurt them. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. He had been taught the law. That's what they lived by, the law. And Joseph, look, you know, if you do something wrong, there's going to be bad karma happen to you. You deserve it. And Joseph was afraid. You guys live in fear? It's crazy. And I just see that and I'm like, you know, And then he said, she'll give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus. You're to give him the name Jesus, which is a form of Joshua, which means Savior. His very name was meeting needs. Whatever your needs are, that's what Jesus is. He's a Savior. And he's going to save his people from their sins. Well, Joseph didn't put her away. It took an angel to get over his fear. But I want to ask you a question. This is just, I don't know, if you can stretch your mind to think this way. In this story of Jesus' birth, in that story, who do you relate to? And that's a hard question because you're like, well, I don't relate to anybody. No, think about it. Let me explain. Do you relate to Mary? Mary was a young girl, young teenage girl, pure, had lived right by the law, and now she's pregnant. You know, she felt judged. She saw the looks from her family and friends who knew she wasn't supposed to be pregnant. And, you know, it's sort of hard to hide it after the first 3 or 4 months. It's like, I'm sure that the enemy was shaming her. People were gossiping about her all the time, talking about her morals, talking about her future, talking about her child who didn't deserve to have a good life because guess how he was conceived? You see, Mary, I don't think the gossip ever stopped. Small town. You know, she marries Joseph and has more children with Joseph, but her oldest son wasn't his. I think she lived under that kind of looks, those looks. Y'all know the looks. Do people ever gossip about you? Are you ashamed of your past? I mean, you know, who? Mary did it. Didn't she? She said yes when God came to her and she got pregnant. It was her fault. Do you live under that kind of thoughts, those kind of words? So do you relate to Mary? And then you look at Joseph. I thought, Joseph, what were you afraid of? I mean, the scripture told us that you were in bondage to the law, which produces death. And that means that you judged yourself and you judged other people and you felt judged by other people. Joseph, what were you afraid of? You know what he was afraid of? He was afraid of going through the pain that he felt. Do you know what kind of pain that young man felt when his wife-to-be shows up pregnant? I'm sure it broke his heart. He had lived his whole life thinking, if I just live this way, and I live this way, and I live straight, and I don't mess up, my life's going to be good. And Joseph was. He lived straight. He did everything right. He was a man who was followed the law, and he was a descendant of David, and it didn't turn out that way. Now, he's got a bastard son. I think he was scared of feeling that pain again. He's like, you know, I'm just going to put her away. Now, you know, he didn't want to. But Joseph felt the pain. He lived in fear of pain. The pain of rejection, the pain of judgment, the pain of those looks, the pain of not being enough. How was he going to provide? What would all of his clients? He was a businessman in that town. He was a carpenter. Who would hire him, the tainted one, to work for them anymore? All those fears were, I think, just swarming Joseph's mind. So do you relate to Joseph? Afraid of the pain of not being able to provide. Afraid of the pain of the looks of judgment coming from other people. You know, people that look at your wife or your son or and judge you by what they did. What kind of man are you? Your wife wouldn't even wait on you. all of that stuff? Or do you relate to the baby? Do you relate to the baby? You know, Jesus. Well, I'm not Jesus. Are you human? I mean, I don't want to mess with your mind, but do you have flesh? Or are you just a thought? Are you really, were you conceived? My personal opinion is, at conception, people are created. Like, because God's eternal. He knows. And so every one of us were conceived. We were human. Do you know that that was Jesus' only requirement for the presence of his dad? He had to be human. And he had to be a human who said yes. Yes. And then Jesus did something that none of us could do. He perfectly fulfilled the law. He was perfectly righteous. And he paid the price for you and I to become sons of God. So the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives inside of each one of us. Now, you know what the problem is? We don't believe it. We don't believe it. You were put here on this earth to bring life, to bring blessings, to bring light into this world, just like Jesus. God waited. Can you imagine the celebration in heaven when that baby was born? I mean, we see the angels, we see the wise men, we see the shepherds, the celebration. Do you know that the same anticipation God had waiting for Jesus to be born, he had waiting for you? Like, he was there. I just had a weird picture in my mind. But you know how it's like a catcher in baseball, how you sort of do like that and you're ready if you're delivering a child? Sorry, it's just in my picture in my mind. It's like, that's what it is, and I don't want to see it. I had a friend of mine once tried to show me her birthing video, and I'm like, no, no. I don't want to talk about, I'm not going to tell you who it is, but her daughter-in-law, the baby I was supposed to watch being born as her daughter, is now my daughter-in-law. She's not here today, so I'm not embarrassing her. Nobody knows it's Martha. But I did not want to watch the video. But I'm telling you, God is waiting to catch the baby, every baby that's born, because they're precious to him. They're valuable to him. He sees them the same way he sees his son, because he gave his son so that he could have every child. That's who you are. Your life is so important. Every baby that's ever born is just as important as Jesus Christ. God loves them the same. God sees nothing but life and potential and a future in them. He doesn't see the hell. You see, I think that it's funny. Joseph was. He was going to save the people, right? And this all took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, God with us. Do you know that your life is here because God wants to be with you? And when he's with you, he's with us. And when he's with me, he's with us. And that's his whole purpose. And you have the same value. Incarnation means God inside of you. Guess who lives in you? Guess who lived in Jesus? God the Father. God the Spirit. That's what made him special. Guess who lives inside of you? Every one of you are just as special as Jesus is. Every human that comes to him is just as special as Jesus is. Now, so in Christ, Galatians 3:26, I'm going to wrap this up, because we're going to do something really important, I think. Everything today is about you experiencing what's already inside of you. When Jesus is with me, nothing else matters. When I feel his presence, there's nothing that can overwhelm me. When Jesus is here, there's physical healing, there's emotional healing, there's freedom, there's relationship restoration. You are seeing it all the time. And today, Jesus wants you to know that He's with you. Because it happens by faith. You access the power of what's happened inside of you, the power of what Jesus did. You access that through faith. Look at Galatians 3:26. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. You got no choice. Because it's in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. Faith is how we access the reality of what Jesus did. It's like you have this huge checking account and you got to write a check to get anything out of it. The check is faith. The money's there. The deed's already been done. Jesus has already paid the price. He's already paid for sin. He's already set the captives free. How do you access it? Through faith, right? There's neither Jew nor Gentile, male or female, slave or free. You are all one in Christ Jesus. Guess how you become one in Christ Jesus? Faith. Oh, I could hear that. And I was like, what am I hearing? I thought it was like me in me. I was like, I'm a piano. Jesus could do that too, couldn't he? He fed 5,000 with just 3 loaves and 5 fish. He could do that. What do you need today? His name is He Meets All of Your Needs. That's His name. Jesus wants to do that with you. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. That's who we are. Did you know that's who you are? Because of Him, that's who you are. You're an heir. You're a son of God. The same reason we worship Jesus, the incarnation, that's what makes Jesus the man. He was the Son of Man and the Son of God. And He came so that we could become sons of God. And we belong to Christ, then we're Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Now we're going to do another thing this morning. I don't think, not only do we think, we don't realize what Christmas is about. Christmas is a celebration of the incarnation. But every time you look at Christmas, you need to realize it's about our incarnation because of His incarnation. The Spirit of God lives in you. These lights that I see, these lights, I think of Jesus. Now when I look at these lights, I think of you. I think of millions and millions and millions of people that love Jesus and that are living for Him and wonderful with Him. So we're going to... We got three more things to do this morning. We're going to take communion together. Oh, we're going to do an offering first? Okay. I'm sorry. I'm watching these guys moving. I'm like, what are y'all doing? We're going to take up another offering. Because there's something we ought to do. Do you know that giving is really worship? And I know we've already given to the church. We gave, right? We had.